Hello, and thanks for joining us on the Christian Celebration Center podcast. Our prayer is that this audio will encourage you in Christ and challenge you from God's Word. Enjoy the message.
All right, if you would stand, take your Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'll have it on the screens as well. I'll be reading out of the NIV translation. And thank you, Pastor David, for an awesome message last week. It was great. I enjoyed it. And popsicles today. So thanks for setting this sweet summer up for us. And we'll enjoy that after the service, I'm sure. 1 Corinthians 1, starting in verse 26. Think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame or confound the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame or confound the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. Father, this is your word. We open it, Lord God, and expect your Holy Spirit attending to it to give us revelation today. I pray that, God, it would go beyond information and lead to transformation. Father, use your word today. Help me to deliver it as you've placed it in my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you today about the power of weakness. The power of weakness. This passage has come up more than once in my preaching and teaching because verse 27 is one of my life verses. You probably have heard me quote the first part, God chooses the foolish things to confound the wise. Foolish there being the Greek word morena. It's moreno. It's what we get our English word moron from. And the fact that God chooses morons, quite honestly, gives me hope. I'm just saying it's true. It's true. It gives me hope, one of my life's verses. But today I want to go a little bit further, and I want to look at the second half of verse 27. We'll have it on the screen. God chose the weak things of this world to shame or confound the strong. A couple of word studies here. First, the word weak here is the Greek word asthenes. It's also translated sick, lame, feeble, unimpressive, and completely without strength. Emphasis on completely. Completely without strength. That's what this word means. In 1846, Oliver Wendell Holmes coined the English word anesthesia from this exact Greek word. When you think of anesthesia, you understand what is trying to be conveyed as complete helplessness without strength. That's the idea of weak here in this passage. The idea of complete powerlessness and thus vulnerability. Let's talk about vulnerability. The English word vulnerable comes from the Latin word vulnerare, which means to wound. So to be vulnerable means to be woundable. And that is a huge motivation to avoid vulnerability at all costs, especially if we've been wounded. And who hasn't? The deeper the wounds, the more resistant to vulnerability we'll be. Add to this the fact that in our society, vulnerability is not usually seen in a positive light or as a positive quality, but one to be avoided. We're continually reminded that vulnerability is weakness. We're told, be strong, keep a tough upper lip, fake it till you make it. Never let people see your weaknesses. And big girls, don't cry, right? Much less men. Yet we are all weak. We all have weaknesses, shortcomings, areas that we've failed, and with the exception of a few narcissists, we're all painfully aware of it this morning. Some of you will get that at lunch. the walls we build around our hearts become barriers to authentic relationship. Even the closest relationships, like our marriages and our families. Folks, there is no freedom quite like knowing another person fully and fully being known by them and fully being loved and accepted by them. This is also why many can struggle with fully accepting God's unconditional love for themselves. We can remind ourselves that God, who knows us best, loves us most. Yet the celebration of that truth will only go as deep as we allow it. Why? Because we see all of our flaws, our weaknesses, and every area we don't think we measure up. We attempt to love ourselves with an imperfect love. But God loves us with a perfect love. And that is hard to grasp when we're looking in the mirror every single day. Thankfully, Scripture takes an entirely different approach to weakness and flaws. In fact, in our text, it reminds us that God chooses us, not in spite of our flaws and weaknesses, but often because of them. Consider this. Peter was a loudmouth with a short fuse. John Mark deserted Paul. Timothy had ulcers and struggled with fear. Moses was a stutterer. Rahab was a prostitute. Jacob, a liar. The Samaritan woman had a string of divorces, and the man that she was with wasn't her husband. Samson was a womanizer. Naomi, a poor widow. David, an adulterer with Bathsheba, and then murdered her husband to cover it up. Jonah ran from God. Gideon and Thomas doubted. Jeremiah was depressed and suicidal. Elijah was burned out. Martha was a blamer. Noah got drunk, and James and John were hotheads. And Paul was an egotistical murderer. And John the Baptist was loud. He was abrasive, and his diet was questionable. And the list goes on and on and on. But yet in our text, Paul writes, put verse 27 up if you would, God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things to confound the strong. He chose the lowly things, the despised things, the things that are not, that's nothing, the things that are not to nullify the things that are. Folks, this morning I want you to know God chooses weakness. God chooses weakness. Somebody in this room besides me needs to hear this morning. Because you can sure name yours. You see your weakness, your shortcomings, your failures, and all of the ways that you fall short, all of the reasons that you think you're disqualified to respond to the call of God, even as John has mentioned it already this morning. You hear the voices in your head, you're not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to succeed. I'm weak. I'm flawed. I remember the days being the last one picked when they're picking sports teams. And by the way, if you're the last one, you're not being picked at all. Just saying. I remember standing in those shoes. I'll pick this person. I'll pick this person. Joey, oh, Tommy. And okay, yeah, I guess you get me. I remember the feelings of that. Some of you remember. Listen, that is not how God operates. The Word of God is telling us this morning that when He chose us, He wasn't stuck with us as leftovers that nobody else wanted, but He chose us in the first round. Glory to God. He couldn't go back to verse 27. He could not have made this easier for us. I mean, how could you be foolish and weak and lowly and despised and nothings. You know what this tells us? This tells us that God chooses moronic, anesthetized, low life, despised nothings. There is nobody in this room, given that list that the Holy Spirit gave us, could go, except maybe Eeyore. Yeah, well, I figured I probably didn't measure up anyway. You know what I'm talking about? God says, no way. He says, I'm going to show them I choose weakness. Glory to God. In the world and in us, if we're not careful, we'll never comprehend the strange wisdom of Jesus' countercultural kingdom, in which the last are first, the weak are strong, the humble are exalted, the empty are filled, the poor are rich, and where every impossibility becomes an occasion for a miracle. God chooses weakness. But it's the next couple of verses that are most eye-opening to me. Beginning in verse 30, says this. It's because of him, the fact that God sent his son to redeem us, that you are in Christ Jesus, look at this, who became for us, who became on our behalf, in place of us, who became for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. I could go on and add strength and ability and power and insight. For it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. In other words, our weaknesses, the frailties of our humanity, our injuries, and even, I think, our sinful shortcomings, surrendered to him in brokenness and repentance, puts on display his work in us, his righteousness, his holiness and redemption, his forgiveness, his power, acceptance, and restoration, all put on display in the midst of our deficit, our weakness, for the world to see. And this work of transformation, this work of healing in us, then becomes the song we sing in the valleys and the hope we declare from the mountaintops and the salt that creates the thirst in those that do not yet know him. The weaker we are as we yield and trust him, the more his strength in us fills the gap and glorifies God. Do you see what I'm saying today? See, if you're not weak, there's very little power that God is going to show himself strong in you. But if your gap is huge, you're weak, you're broken, that leaves that much room for God's power to be strong in you, and God will, and people will see the power of God in you in a greater dimension than if you were not weak. Boy, that's good preaching, Pastor Pat. I want to be weak. I say it this way. The greater your deficit, the greater his glory. See, you know what? I would be real transparent with you right now. I want people to know how shy and how introverted and sometimes backward I am in my flesh. Most of you have heard some stories. Many of you have no idea. I grew up a high schooler who was so intimidated, shy, and introverted, I could not even have a conversation with another human being. I tucked my books into myself and stared at the lockers and walked down the hallway, hoping, praying nobody would engage me. I want people to know that in my flesh, I am that shy little kid. Why do you want people to know that, Pastor Pat? Because I want them to be amazed at God's strength in me. When I preach and teach and do ministry, said it another way, my willingness to be vulnerable and make known my weakness increases your amazement of God's power at work in me. Now, that assumes that you think my preaching's okay, I guess. It just dawned on me as I'm saying this. Well, if they don't like your preaching, Pat, you just defeated your whole point right there. See, but you understand what I'm saying. If I hide my weakness, if you hide your weakness, we actually hide the ability of God to receive glory as he shows himself strong in your weakness. Glory to God. My amazement increases. Nobody knows who I am more than me, except God. I know my weakness. And when I get done in services like this, I don't preach very often anymore, but when I get done, it's like I'm a rag doll because, you know, I just like give it all I have and, you know, and just lay myself out there and trust God. People tell me, are you ready? I said, no, if the Holy Spirit shows up, I'm ready. If the Holy Spirit doesn't show up, trust me, we're all in trouble. But I'm amazed at how God will be strong in the areas that I'm the weakest. I'm amazed. Others are amazed. But here's the point. The point is, God gets more glory. If you thought preaching or anything that I do or you do is a natural talent, then when you excel, who gets the glory? But if you know the truth, and I'm not talking about false humility. If you know the truth, you know you're weak, you know you're not up for the task, you know that you can't go to Indonesia and do anything. You know and feel that weakness and you go anyway and trust God, then when God does what God does, you're amazed. The people around you are amazed. And they know it's God if they know you, and they give glory to him. Paul began our passage this morning by reminding us as readers to think of what you were when you were called. He said, not many of you were wise. There were a few. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. And if you happen to be that rare person here today, one of the few, it's extremely intelligent, always has it together, prepared for anything, always wins, never fails. It's going to be a challenge for you to get out of the way and let God do his work in you. Thank God for you, and you can do that as you trust him as well. But it's a challenge. The more talent we have, the easier it is to rely on that talent. Isn't that true? The less talent we have, there is nothing to rely on except God. When you're weak and you know it, you let the walls down in authentic relationship to make yourselves vulnerable so people see your weaknesses, your struggles, your shortcomings. They have a front row seat to watch God do what only God can do. And his power is put on display, and God will receive more glory. Some feel like damaged goods, maybe second-class Christians this morning don't bring much to the table. Folks, that is just simply not true. In fact, the more broken we are, the more amazed and visible his work of restoration in us becomes. And the louder our life shouts his praise. The greater your deficit, the greater his glory. You know, one of the best things that I've heard for demonstrating how God uses brokenness is in the art of what is called kintsugi, developed in Japan in the 14th century. If we could go to that next slide, please. Kintsugi takes broken pieces of pottery and rejoins them using lacquer with a beautiful gold powder. The word kintsugi literally means to join with gold. Now, while we do not embrace the Eastern thought that's associated with this Japanese thing, the point is what makes kintsugi art so unique is that it actually emphasizes the broken pieces rather than trying to hide or disguise them. Think about that. The art of kintsugi calls for seeing beauty in the flawed, the damaged, and the imperfect. The idea is to appreciate the whole history of the piece, including and especially its brokenness. Every crack, every chip, every broken place has a story. Once reassembled, the piece is actually considered even more beautiful and elegant than the original. The fault lines are now lined with precious veins of gold, making the vessel even stronger and more valuable because of the gold that's used to repair all of the breakages. God has always used cracked pots to demonstrate his glory. Look what the scripture says. But we have this treasure, that's Christ in us, in jars of clay, to show this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. How much more, as followers of Christ, should we appreciate the whole history of our journey with God? As flawed, damaged, broken jars of clay, every chip, every crack, every missing piece that life has dislodged over the years tells a story. And every one of them surrendered to the master craftsman to do his work in us that will release the pure gold of his power into every flaw and every area of brokenness. How he's redeemed us, how he's healed us, how he's brought us through, and at times maybe not even answered the way we thought, but has given us grace to sustain us. We want to hide our brokenness, to forget our pain, forget our failures, and by doing so, my fear is we minimize the glory of God at work in us. I don't want to hide my breakages, the chips, the brokenness. I don't want to do that. And even when he fixes us, you know what I like about this? Even when he fixes us, it's not just like this perfect vessel now. You can't even see the cracks. That's not how God does it. We need to be able to see our cracks, see our brokenness, see the chips, the abrasions in our life, the difficulties. Why? Because as God forms the gold of his Spirit and does his work in us, I want them to see God's miraculous power. And when they know the crack that's underneath the gold, the breakage that's behind that, the gold is even more amazing. And people will look at you and look at me and say, I see God. And they will find hope for their lives. As we prepare to close, let me share with you four practical steps. Well, I say prepare to close. I got another half pages of notes. Just saying. Four practical steps that we can take to maximize God's power in our weaknesses. Number one, be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. Let go of the idea that somehow God just tolerates you. Somehow God just puts up with you. That is not true. And there is no scripture better than the one we looked at today to show you no matter how low you think you are, God's choosing you. Let that thought go. That is not from God. That's from the pit of hell, to try to intimidate you and diminish you and put you in a position where you will not feel able to trust God. Truth is, we aren't. But when we embrace that and trust him, he will do it through us. So be honest with yourself. Let go of that idea that you don't measure up. Bring him your woundedness, your grief, your failures, your regrets. Don't pack them down. And don't say the past doesn't matter. You know what? You won't even think about it if you've dealt with it. Chances are very good that the past is still impacting you today. Say, I don't want to dig up the past. Well, it depends. Why are you digging it up? You want to dig it up just to rehearse the pain. What good is that? But if you're going to dig it up to put it in the hands of the master, that he can create gold where there was brokenness, buddy, I'll be the first one to dig it up. Bring your wounds, your disappointments. Walk in his strength. Let him, listen, let him increase your capacity. I had to do that. Before I came into this position as one of my roles as missions pastor, you know, I was scared to death to fly. And some of you might have heard me say that. I wouldn't fly. I wouldn't get on an airplane. There's no way. I had missionary workers call me, want to bring me over to Russia, do pastors' conferences and all kinds of things, all expenses paid. I would make up some stupid excuse why I couldn't do it, because I wouldn't get on an airplane. And then probably about 6 months before Joel Stocker called and asked if we would accept position as assistant pastor 16 years ago, one of the roles was missions pastor. About 6 months before that, maybe a little shorter, I woke up one day with this desire to get on an airplane. I'm not kidding. I wasn't praying about it. I really didn't do anything about it, but God knew. And that crack, that fear, and fear almost seems too trite, that terror that I had, was now gone. Now, I won't say that it's my favorite thing to do is jump on an airplane even today, but I have to remind myself, no, God's bigger than this. It's a process. It's a process, but he'll increase your capacity. And if your weakness, if you're dealing with sin, if that's a weakness that comes to your mind as I'm preaching this morning, own it. Repent. Surrender. Turn it into the hands of the master artisan. As you confess your sins, faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, then celebrate his forgiveness. Number two, submit to the work of the Holy Spirit in you. That's kind of what I've been talking about. It's his, you use the illustration of Kintsugi, okay, because it's a powerful picture, but it's really the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not gold, it's his power, right? But we have to submit to it. You can just walk around a cracked pot all day long and not submit to God's healing and remain the same. Submit to the work of the Holy Spirit. Let him reveal his truth. Pray and walk in that truth and the grace that he gives you. And let him change your heart. As you bring your wounds and your disappointments, walk in that strength. Number three, be authentic with others. Be authentic with others. Look for ways your story connects with others, especially in the area of weaknesses, challenges, and difficulties. Be willing to be vulnerable. Be willing to be woundable. Letting others see your deficit and the unfolding of God's work in you, the healing and the restoration that you're trusting him for, and then glorify God as he's doing it. Number four, let your whole story praise God. Not just the mountaintops, not just the victories. Let your whole story. See, I'm not there yet. You know, we ask each other when we see each other, and I understand it's cultural, it's what we do. How you doing? Fine. Good. Me too. I get that. That's culture. But let your relationships not be limited to those occurrences. I get it. You're not going to walk by somebody you hardly know and all of a sudden unpack 5 years of trauma. I get that, right? But somewhere, in some context, in the presence of others, somewhere you have to. Somewhere you've got to be real. And you've got to be honest, and you've got to be transparent, and you've got to do the unsafe thing to let your walls down, even though that means you may get hurt again. Because it's only in doing that, and the weaknesses are exposed, that God's glory can shine. And everybody around you will be amazed, but so will you. Could it be that you've been cutting yourself off from God's power because you've not yet truly faced the graveness of your weaknesses, the depth of your pain, the disappointments? Let your whole story praise God. Connect with others. And then I'll just say this. Let your worship, we'll talk about this next week. Let your worship flow through the cracks of your brokenness. As you worship through your flaws, listen, you will see the gold of his power begin to collect.
Thank you for listening. You know, we believe God has something amazing in store for you today. And now is the perfect time to take a few moments and pray about what you just heard. If this message spoke to you, we would love to hear about it. Send us an email to office@cccmidland.com or connect with us on your favorite social media @cccmidland.